So, good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, good evening. And maybe we can start a few moments of breathing exercise, meditations to quiet our mind and to bring our mind in the moment present. Try to keep your back straight. That helps to be more alert. And also try to make yourself comfortable. And feel the weight of your body in cushion or chair being grounded. And let your breath flow naturally. And keep observing the breath mindfully and try to be aware of that. Once your mind is settled down quiet in the moment, we can try to generate good intention, for example, by thinking the purpose of my life is to be as much health benefit as possible to as many sentient beings as possible. In order to be more health benefit to other sentient beings and oneself, we need to reduce those disturbing negative emotions, such as frustration, impatience, anger, hatred, greediness, craving, maliciousness, ignorance, and so forth. And we need to generate and increase those helpful positive state of mind, such as to love, compassion, or to the mind, sense of contentment, patient mind, and wisdom, so forth. And to reduce and overcome those disturbing negative emotions and to increase those helpful positive emotions. We need to reflect, contemplate, meditate, practice continuously, correctly. And for that, we need to continue to be reminded of the practice, continue to study, learn, continue to listen, therefore I'm going to listen to the talk. So whatever I find helpful or beneficial, that's what I can apply and integrate in my everyday life as much as possible. So I can reduce those disturbing negative emotions and improve those positive. May all of us here coming together to listen by giving our precious time, resource, energy. May all of this become cause and condition to achieve our own highest potential, the fully awakened state. So not only we can be help benefit, but that we can be greatest help and benefit, and not only to some, but to each and every sentient beings. Yes, refuge in Bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha. Sangye Sutta Sobhi Shonam Ma Chanchu Padu Dhani Kapsu Chi Dagi Chute Gibe Sonam Ki Lola Dengche Sangye Yoba Shio Sangye Chuna Sogye Chona Ma Chanchu Padu Dhani Kapsu Chi Dagi Chute Gibe Sonam Ki Lola Dengche Sangye Yoba Shio. So the topics of the discussions for next three evenings will be the 12th link of dependent arisings. Very important, one of the most important subjects. in Buddhism, you know, in a way, it is extensions of the fundamental teaching of Buddha, the Four Noble Truth. You know, and that was the very foundational teachings of the Buddha, the first teaching that he gave after enlightenment, and the 12th link of dependent arising can be understood as a kind of extension of that. So it is very important, fundamental, basis and foundation for many others Buddhist practice. So I might make you a little bit more confused. That's my job. Before, maybe you might have thought, maybe you understood a little bit, and now maybe by the time we finish, you said, what happened? Like the emptiness, you know. You feel you got it, and then suddenly you feel like you didn't get it. So of course the 12 dependent link of dependent arising, you find mentioning of that in many of the Buddha's sutras, including Heart Sutras. You know, doesn't go each of them 12, but it starts from ignorance up to aging and death. Mentioning of that in terms of how we get thrive or, you know, tied up in this endless circle of samsara, rebirth and aging and death and all other sufferings in between. Also in the Heart Sutra, in that, then also there is the mentioning of how to free ourselves from this endless circle, chain of circle of endless rebirth and aging and death, where it mentioned that from the cessations of ignorance up to cessation of aging and death. So in that, it just, there's a mentioning of, without much details, mentioning how we are caught in samsara and therefore how we experience suffering in samsara, starting from the ignorance. And then also there is explanation how we can free from this vicious cycle of some samsara rebirth and the death and all the suffering that come by eliminating the ignorance, the root of the very root of the 12 link. And then you find a little bit more, of course, then you find that also in many other Prajnaparamita sutras and many of the Prajnaparamita sutras, then you find mention of each of those 12 link, unlike in Hast Sutra where it's mentioned the first and the last. And then there is a special, there is another sutra which is called Rice Seedling Sutra. In that, then Buddha actually go more details. And he starts by, you know, mentioning, you know, whoever sees dependent arising sees the Dharma, and whoever sees the Dharma sees the Buddha. And then mentions what is dependent arising, what is Dharma, what is Buddha, what does it mean by when you see dependent arising, you see Dharma, what does you mean by when you see the Dharma, you see the Dharma, Buddha. So then it is a detailed explanation to that, those three, you can say the statements, you know. So in explanation in that, then Buddha explained what dependent arising is, and then he explained the dependent arisings in terms of external dependent arisings, outer external dependent arising, and inner dependent arisings. First, he explained the outer external dependent arising because it's more easy for us to understand that. You know, then he, in that, you know, he explained about how, you know, the plant, you know, depending on the arising of the plant, you know, how the seed give rise to the sprout, and the sprout give rise to the stem, and slowly the branches, you know, the leaves, branches, and slowly the flower and the fruits, you know, how one leads to the next. And in explanation of depending arising of that external world, the plant, you know, he explained about the causal relationship or causal and as well as conditional relationship. And then in term of that, then causal relationship is like the seed is the cause, main primary cause for the plant, the fruit plant. Conditional is that, you know, such as the earth, you know, the water, the heat, you know, the air and the space and Buddha also explained about the time. So he talked about the six conditions, you know, of the fourth element plus space element, and then season or time elements. Due to depending on all of those conditions and the cause, multiple cause and conditions, then how that seed grow into slowly, you know, leading one stage to next stage to finally, you know, big tree with a lot of flowers and the fruit, and from where we can enjoy. So that is, I think that explanations, I think we all kind of have understanding. I don't think we have any difficulty with understanding. I don't think we will have any argument with that, any doubt about that. Because it's something, if I walk in the garden or plant, or if you're observing, see, it's something we experience and we see all the time. After having explained that, then Buddha says, you know, not only the external, you know, outer plants and other conditional phenomena are dependent arising in similar way, but also the internal world of the beings and the beings' experience are also dependent arising. That the law of dependent arising is not only apply, not only it doesn't apply to external worlds or external objects, but it also apply to the same internal world of the beings and the being experiences. And in explaining, in explanation of that internal dependent arisings, you know, then, you know, Buddha explained again the being, you know, by depending on six elements, how the being exists by depending on six elements, dependent arising, just like the external, you know. So the, you know, by depending on, you know, earth element, water element, fire element, you know, air element or and space element and consciousness element. Instead of the on the others, there was the time or the season elements, and here in relation to the being, then consciousness elements, because the beings are made out of the physical body and their mind. So the physical body is depending on those five physical form or bodies, depending on those five elements, and then the mind is depending on the consciousness elements. And so the beings are made of that, those six elements, the physical body and the mind. So that is how he explained. And then he explained about, you know, the experience of the beings, you know, why we nobody wants suffering, you know. We all want to be happy, you know. We all pursue to be happy and to achieve happiness. And nobody wants sufferings. Of course, if someone mentally disturbed, then that could be another. But if someone has, but still nobody really wants pain and suffering. We all try to avoid pain and suffering. We all try to relieve the pain and sufferings and the cause and condition that could lead to that suffering. Despite not wanting sufferings, despite trying our effort to avoid and not to suffer, but the fact or reality of our life is we all go through sufferings. Nobody wants to die, we have no, we all die. Aging, nobody wants to age after a sudden. When you are young, maybe we don't mind aging. But when you reach sudden age, then you don't want to age, you know. Because with that aging comes much more challenge, much more pain, suffering related with that, much more difficulties, you know. But, you know, nobody can stop aging. Nothing has been able to stop aging and death so far through external interventions, you know. Maybe we might be able to, you know, extend the time of death a little bit long, you know, longer. But again, and as we age, you know, of course from the birth, and then as especially when you reach certain ages, then the suffering of illness, sickness become more obvious. When our body started to kind of break down. By the way, I'm joining the club. I noticed that I was joining the club this year. I was saying, you know, the most busy to doctors and in 1 year then all most of my life. We don't want and we try, but you know, to avoid them, but it's something that we cannot avoid. You know, why is that? Why is that? Why is that? It's because of samsara rebirth. Because of the samsara rebirth. As long as we are samsara rebirth, no one can escape. You know, aging, sickness, death, and all other sufferings that come. It's the nature of that samsara rebirth. Just like the nature of that plant will decay. It cannot remain fresh, undecaying forever. Why does it need to decay? Why can't it remain fresh all the time? Why should it decay? Why do it have to decay? Because it's the very nature of that, the impermanent nature of that. That's very impermanent nature of that. That is how things are, conditioned things are. Comes and goes, you know, come into existence and decay, disintegrate. And that is part of that nature. So not only that nature of that kind of dependent arisings, which depend on many causes and conditions, which are the nature of impermanent, therefore the result also is impermanent, ever-changing, coming and going, existing and decaying, being born and decaying, same way. That is how, you know, samsara rebirth. because of that samsara rebirth, because of that nature of rebirth, is that, you know, the nature of that such a rebirth is, it comes with that aging, sickness and death. It's, so if we don't want such aging, sickness and death, then we have to stop such a rebirth. And if we have to stop such rebirth, then we have to stop the cause and conditions that lead to such rebirth. Because it doesn't arise without depending on cause and conditions. You know, by depending on certain cause and conditions, then such rebirth is produced. And because such rebirth is produced, then those different suffering arises in relation to such rebirth. And then, you know, so if we want to stop such rebirth, then we have to stop the cause and condition that lead to such a rebirth. And that means, you know, we have to stop the link of becoming, the link of grasping, craving, the link of consciousness and karmic formations and the ignorance. Those are the cause that lead to such result. So in explanation of that, then Buddha in that right Sitling Sutra, then he explains this 12 link, you know, how one cause lead to next, and that act as a cause to the next link, and that act as a cause to the next link, and how is this chain of 12 links arises. So yeah, as you have the this exists because that exists. Buddha explained in that rice field thing. By gazing in the rice field, you know, and holding, gazing the rice, simply, you know, this exists because that exists. That is the cause of this. This is the result of that. There's a connection between cause and effect, effect and cause, the dependent arisings. So he explained that general dependent arisings. This is produced because of that. And then he's explaining more specific dependent arising, the dependent arising of inner or inner experience. You know, such as this, the link of aging and death is produced because of samsara birth. So that this is produced because that is produced. Due to that previous cause and conditions, then this result is produced. So in explanation of that, more details, after explaining that, then, you know, he mentioned, you know, this is produced because of that and that, and due to the ignorance, so that is the first link, you know. Second link, the karmic formations is produced. And due to that karmic formations, the third, the consciousness link is produced. Due to the third link of consciousness link, then the fourth, name and form, is produced. Due to the link of name and form, the sixth sense faculty or the power or sources are produced. Due to the link of six sense faculties, then contact, the link of contact is produced. Due to the produced product of the sixth link, the contact, then seven feeling is produced. Due to the feeling, then craving is produced, the eighth one. Due to the craving, then grasping, the ninth is produced. Due to the grasping, the ninth link, then tenth link, becoming, is produced. Due to the becoming, you know, the ten, then 11, the birth is produced. And due to the 11, the birth, the 12, aging and death is produced. Due to the aging and death, then there is sorrow, there's lamentations, no? And there is unhappiness and disturbance, you know, and so again. So then all this mental anguish and the pain and sufferings, you know, due to the aging and death. Due to the aging or death, you know, the grief, you know, not only grief, you know, going through that grief, you know, then again, you know, so many others disturbing negative emotion that could arise, you know. While we are dying, you know, fear, worry, anxieties could arise, you know, the fear of future, the fear of unknown, you know, the fear of unknown of yourself, what might happen after death, what might happen, what could happen, what might happen, as well as fear about people who are left behind, what might happen to my children, what might happen to my loved ones, friends, so on, all different kind of fear where it could arise. A lot of guilt could arise, you know, at the time of death, when you look back our life, you know, you just can't stop but to really kind of look back in your life, you know, rewind your life, and maybe things can come where we feel very guilt about a lot of things, regret about a lot of things, you know, could start to feel, you know, bitter about life, bitter towards yourself, bitter towards someone's, you know. Anger could arise towards yourself, towards life, towards others, towards the world. You know, feeling of anger, hatred. At that time, when you are going through all this kind of physical and mental pain, and it could give rise to all those kind of different negative feelings and emotions that, and through that, you know, then one experiences so much mental distress, you know, sorrow, pain, sufferings. So, and, you know, all this comes because of, you know, preceding cause, going back to the ignorance. So that is the Buddha's explanations. This is produced because of that is produced in more explanations of how we are tied up in the samsara or samsara rebirth and continue to experience all different kinds of suffering within that samsara. How do we get to that? How did we get to that? You know, he explained how each of the chain or the link, how each cause lead to the next, and that lead to the next, you know, and finally this samsaric rebirth full of so much pain and sufferings. Then also immediately after he explains in that Rice-Ling Sutras, you know, the freedom from that, you know, the freedom from that endless cycle of rebirth and birth and death and all the sufferings that come with such birth and death. How to end that, you know, due to cessation of the ignorance, then there is cessation of karmic formations. Due to the cessation of karmic formations, then there is a cessation of consciousness link. And when there is cessation of the consciousness, the link of consciousness, then there is a cessation of name and form. And then when there is a cessation of name and form, then there is the it leads to the cessations of six sense faculties. And when there is a cessation of the six sense sources of faculty, then there is a cessation of conduct. When there is a cessation of conduct, then there is a cessation of the feeling. And when there is a cessation of feeling, there is a cessation of craving. And when there is no more craving, cessation of craving, then it leads to, you know, cessation or end of grasping. When there is no more craving and grasping to activate, then there is no more, you know, becoming, the cessation of becoming. And when there is no more cause of samsara rebirth that has been fully activated, then there is no more samsara rebirth. So cessation of rebirth. And when there is no more samsara rebirth, then there is no more aging and sickness because of such rebirth. And when there is no more suffering of aging and death, you know, then there is no more all other sufferings that comes because of that aging and death, you know. So with that, then one Buddha explain how we can free ourselves from, you know, this endless, you know, suffering of aging and death and all the suffering that come in by ending the samsara rebirth. And we can end the samsara rebirth by stopping the cause and conditions that lead to that samsara rebirth. So in that, then he explained how we get caught up in samsara and also how to get out of that cyclic existence, continuous cyclic existence. So with the first explanations, how we get caught up in samsara and the sufferings is the extensions of the noble truth of the first two noble truth, you know. the noble truth of suffering and origin, noble truth of origin, the origin of the sufferings. With the second explanations, you know, how we can cease, you know, or end the suffering of aging and death and all other suffering that comes because of that by, you know, ceasing or by stopping, sometimes we work up to the ignorance. With that, then, you know, it's a kind of extensions of the noble truth of cessations in the path. In order to understand the nature of samsara, the suffering nature of samsara, and why we suffer, you know, why we suffer, then, you know, understanding of Four Noble Truths and 12 Links can be very helpful to understand that, why we suffer. Why we suffer what we suffer. Why we go through what we go through. So the Buddha's explanation is not that there is some kind of external agent, someone who is punishing you, you know, who is punishing you, and therefore why we suffer. But it's because of certain cause and conditions. Due to certain particular cause and conditions, it led to that state. And how we can end that such painful suffering situation and experience is by getting the rid of cause and condition that lead to that situation, that experiences, that existence. It is about working with the cause and conditions. That's what dependent arising. You know, by understanding, if we engage in certain cause and condition, it leads to this particular result. And if I don't want this particular result, I should stop creating these cause and conditions. That leads to that, that conditions and that experience. If I want particular result, you know, more happy, joyful, more peaceful result, then recognizing what is the cause and condition that can lead to that. Once we recognize, understand what is the cause and condition that lead to that, then we try to create that cause and condition that lead to that. So that is what the 12 links help us to do that. To help to understand and identify and recognize what are the cause and condition for all the sufferings, so that we can stop creating such cause and conditions. If we don't stop creating cause and condition, you can pray to anyone, you can wish, you can pray, but it doesn't stop because the cause and conditions are there. You have planted a seed and then it started rain and all other conditions are there. And you can think, you know, may that plant not grow. You can make prayers all the time. Day and night, may that plant not to grow, it will not stop growing because all the cause and condition have come together here to grow. On the other hand, if you don't create all the cause and conditions, even you pray it to grow, it will not grow. Now, if you plant, you don't give water, you know, if it doesn't have all the conditions, you don't water and you just stay in the room and pray for it to manifest, it's not going to do that. It's not going to. It's about creating the, recognizing, identifying what are the cause and conditions and creating cause and conditions, or not creating cause and conditions in relation to the you know, the sufferings. So, if we stop creating cause and if we stop creating cause and condition that lead to such samsara rebirth and the sufferings, then you know, we don't have to suffer. And on the other hand, you know, if we want true lasting happiness, inner peace, true lasting happiness, you know, true happiness, true inner peace and lasting happiness, then again, you know, we try to identify what are the cause and conditions, and then we try to engage in the cause and condition that lead to that. You know, again, it's not enough just praying without creating the cause and condition that lead to that state. So again, it's about creating cause and condition. In order to create cause and condition for more peaceful, joyful, happy life, in order to stop creating cause and condition of more suffering and pain, then we have to understand, we have to identify and recognize those, what are those cause and conditions, so that we can stop creating cause and condition that lead to suffering, so that we can create cause and condition that lead to true happiness. And that is why understanding or traveling become very crucial and important. Also, you know, through understanding of 12 dependent link, better, you know, then it helps us to develop, you know, sense of non-attachment to the samsaric pleasure and excellent. No matter how excellent it is, as long as it's samsaric pleasure and samsaric excellent, that you don't get attached to them. If you don't get attached to them, you know, then, you know, you will be inspired, you know, to achieve true happiness, the liberation, the nirvana. Your mind would be directed towards that, instead of being directed towards the samsaric excellent pleasure and so on. At the moment, we are too distracted. At the moment, we are too distracted and running after achieving the samsaric excellent, samsaric pleasure. And we are too busy and distracted with that because we are attached to them. So even we talk about liberation, nirvana, but it's not in really hard every day. Every day is about chasing, about samsaric pleasure, samsaric joy, samsaric excellence. Every day that become our things, you know. We hardly really sincerely think about the liberations or nirvana much, because our mind is too distracted towards them because of attachment to them. So, you know, with such, when you have better understanding, of course, not only intellectually, but experientially, you know, first, like everything, we have intellectual understanding. Once you have intellectual understanding, you put that into practice so that you have an experiential understanding. And that experiential understanding through the practice meditation is that which will really transform our mind. And with that, then you know, you are no more attached to that. When you are no more attached to, then, you know, then we have what you call, pure renunciations, or, determined, your mind turn away from the samsara and kind of direct it towards the true liberations. True determinations to free from the samsara then really arise, and that is, and when you have that, then that is when we really enter the path. That is when we really enter the path, when you have that kind of pure, true renunciations, or, the mind that turned away from the samsaric pleasure and excellence. When your mind turns away from that, instead your mind is directed towards the inner peace, happiness, true liberations, then that is, and when we have that, when we develop that, that pure renunciations, and when we extend that, and when we direct that understanding towards others, then it helps us to cultivate compassion for others. With your own experience, when you apply that to yourself, when you understand, as long as I'm not free from this ignorance and all other cause and condition that give rise to this samsara rebirth, I will never be free from all the sufferings. I will continue to be in suffering, continue to experience this pain and sufferings. And when you understand that, then you also, when you apply to others, anyone who is not free from those ignorance and craving and grasping and so forth, they will never have true lasting happiness. They are constantly suffering, just like myself. And when you understand and feel their pain and suffering, then it allows you to feel compassion. It allows your mind to feel compassion for others because you understand their pain and sufferings, because you understand and feel the pain and suffering with your own experience. And so then that helps you to develop compassion to others. Not only others, all sentient beings. Because you understand all sentient beings, as long as they are not free from the ignorance and craving and grasping and other those links, then you know they are suffering. Regardless of what their status are, regardless who they are, whether you are the more poor person or whether you are the more rich persons, both of them are not free from the suffering of aging and death. Both of them not free from the suffering of sickness and not free from all the other mental anguish, despair, and all the mental sufferings. When you understand that, not only you can feel compassion for the most poor one, you can feel compassion most rich one as well. Because you understand they both are suffering on that level. In that particular suffering level, there's no differences. So then you can feel compassion, not only for the victim, also for the perpetrator. Able to feel because you also see that perpetrator is also experiencing so much pain and sufferings as well. The sequences of 12 link, the way it was explained in the Rice Sweeping Sutra and others, it is explained based on two different set of link. But I think to have a better understanding, I'm going to kind of explain from one set of link. I think sometimes that would be more easy to relate and understand. Okay. coming to the first link, the ignorance. That's the first link where everything starts from there. Ignorance, of course, you know, probably there's billions of ignorance, you know. But here we are talking about fundamental ignorance, you know. I might be ignorant about what this paper is made from, you know. I might be ignorant about this ink is made of, how it is made. I'm ignorant about it, you know. So there's plenty of ignorance. But that ignorance, but it's not a fundamental ignorance, that's the root of all my sufferings. You know, not knowing or even misunderstanding what is made out of, that is not the root of my fundamental problems. That is not the fundamental ignorance for my suffering and problems. So here we are talking about specific ignorance. And the fundamental ignorance, that is the root of, you know, all the sufferings and the problem or rest of the link. So in that understanding that also ignorance can be understood, not knowing or misperceiving things or reality mistakenly, which is much more worse. Not understanding reality is one. Not understanding fact is one thing, but actually misinterpreting the reality is much more worse, is much more dangerous. And we can see even in our world, you know, in generally, there are people who are ignorant because they haven't understood something. Certain situations, certain events, certain things. And there are people who are ignorant, actually who misperceive to be, who perceive the reality totally mistaken way. And those are the ones you cannot change their mind. How to change their mind? Because they believe something which is not true to believe truth. And then there are people who are doesn't know the truth but who are more open. They just don't know truth. And you present them the truth, oh, that's what it is. You can clear their ignorance. You can help them to clear their ignorance. On the other hand, when someone believes the truth, if it's not truth but to be a truth, then it's very hard, much more harder, much more worse. And here, when we talk about ignorance, we are talking about, you know, the ignorance of misperceiving the reality of the phenomenon. You know, that is the fundamental ignorance. So within the 12th link, we can talk about maybe two ignorance, main two ignorance, the ignorance of law of cause and effect, and then ignorance of the main one, the ignorance of, you know, the ultimate reality. And that, yeah, in that ignorance, you know, which maybe we can talk maybe later. You know, even though the reality of the self and all phenomena is that everything is dependent on arisings, everything is empty of inherent existence. The self is empty of inherent existence. My body is empty of inherent existence. My feeling, my mind is empty of inherent existence. Everything that I perceive, everything I see, everything I hear, everything I taste, everything I smell, everything I touch, everything that comes into my mind, they all are dependent arisings. They all are empty of inherent existence. But the ignorance perceive the self and all phenomena to exist in hidden existence. It cannot see dependent arising. Instead, it sees them as dependent, you know, see them or perceive them to exist as in hidden existence. And that is the root of all the problem. And that ignorance give rise to attachments, aversions, and due to that, you know, attachments, aversions, that then give rise to many other disturbing affective emotions. You know, due to attachments, then, you know, it gives rise to jealousy. Due to attachment, it gives rise to greediness. Due to attachment, it gives rise to miserliness. All those different other affective emotions. And when we are overpowered by any of those emotions or defilements, immediately we suffer. Immediately we suffer on our emotional mental level. When you have that kind of attachment or cravings, you know, your mind is unhappy because your mind is dissatisfied. You know, because your mind is unhappy and dissatisfied with whatever you have. You might be billionaire, but you're still dissatisfied and unhappy because you won't be a trillionaire. You might be a trillionaire and you are not happy and satisfied because you want to be cylinder. So that the mind, dissatisfied mind, doesn't go away just because you made more. And we don't have to think of millionaire, billionaire, zillionaire because maybe we are not. But we can think of ourselves in our life, how we started with nothing. Relatively, we have much more than that time. We own much more than before. We have much more than before. But in terms of our, because we still have this craving and attachments, we are almost equally unhappy and dissatisfied as before when we have less. Maybe more even unhappy than before. Maybe even more dissatisfied than before. So having that external objects, more objects, whatever those are, the object of our attachment, doesn't really satisfy, you know, your mind. And when, and because of that is how we suffer, you know, always unhappy, always dissatisfied, you know. And that comes because of that craving, attachments. And that attachment arises because of that ignorance, the fundamental ignorance. On the other hand, you know, aversions, you know, It give rise, that ignorance give rise to aversion towards certain objects. And due to that strong aversions, then it give rise to, you know, anger, hatred, resentment, grudges, you know, evil feelings. And when all these different feeling or emotion arises, you know, then, you know, again, there's no peace in our mind. Our peace is disturbed, agitated, and we suffer immediately because of that. And not only that, you know, then if we talk from karmic point of view, you know, by having cultivated, having arises of the attachment and the aversions, then we, you know, we act out of that, you know, either on a mental level, verbal or physical level, or two of them, or all three of them. And through that, you know, by engaging that actions, calming actions, then we leave the imprint, and through such imprint of the potentials, in the future, when the cause and condition come together, then we experience more suffering, more pain. So that's where, you know, how is come from that fundamental ignorance. Due to the ignorance of law of cause and effect, you know, due to not understanding or misunderstanding that your actions do not have any consequences or specific consequences, and then, you know, by either, you know, misunderstanding or not understanding, then we engage in, you know, unwholesome actions and create, you know, unwholesome negative actions. On the other hand, you know, even when engaged in the wholesome virtuous actions, but due to not understanding the ultimate truth, and instead misperceiving the ultimate truth due to that ignorance, you know, motivated deeply, on the, then, you know, even the virtues we engage into, then, you know, even those become cause of samsara, not a cause to free from the samsara. It only leads to a better situation within the samsara. It's like, you know, you have been put into a, you know, better sections of the prisons, you know, still in prisons. It doesn't help you get out of prison. It only helps you to get a little better condition within the prisons. And so, and that is the, because of that ignorance. So, okay, today I will stop here. I can take a couple of questions if anyone has questions. Yes, please.
Good evening, Geshe-la. I was just wondering, when you were going through the reverse order, up the 12 links, part of me feels nervous about it. I was wondering, at the end of it, is there no existence at all, or is there just no samsaric existence?
Yeah. What would you like?
if no existence at all would be like a perfect suicide, I assume. Like nothing goes on.
I can make the decision for you. Yeah, just kidding. As you know. No, after that, there's two different explanation understandings, you know, according to the lower school of Bhavasika and Sotantrika. then that is end. You achieve nirvana, you know, at the very beginning, you know, nirvana with reminder, because you still have these aggregates, that is result of previous karma. And then you die after some time. And then you achieve nirvana without reminder. And then that is it. That is the end. Understanding of the higher school of thoughts, such as Mind Valley School and Middle Way Schools, their understandings, it continues. You know, it continues. So you don't have any more samsara rebirth. You can choose to come or not come, you know. But there's a continuity of the consciousness and continuity of the beings. It doesn't end. Eventually, everyone will achieve fully enlightened, fully awakened state, you know, because everyone has the Buddha nature, the potential to be Buddha, you know. When the condition come together, all the condition come together, then, and even you achieve fully enlightened state, fully enlightenment or enlightened state, still it continues. The consciousness continues, the being continues, you know. As a fully enlightened beings, you know, free from the samsara and the sufferings, you know, so it continues. So, yeah, so there is two kind of different school of thoughts who have different understanding of that.
So Karen on Zoom said, is the cessation an aha moment of seeing the necessity of combining wisdom and compassion for enlightenment so we can be real people?
Yeah, so that we are not a robot. So we are a real person and not a robot. Trying to type everything, AI. Well, I think at the moment that is what it is, you know. The difference between the AI and the real persons is that the real person have that wisdom and the compassion. It will be interesting in the future what happens. But anyway, definitely when we have that kind of understanding and sensation, understanding, feeling that we need the both wisdom and the compassion, you know, to achieve enlightenment as well as to be more help benefit to others, including to be more help benefit to yourself, you know, then definitely that makes our life much more meaningful and much more precious. And
then one more question. This is from Macy Jane. We strive on the Mahayana path to develop bodhicitta. If we reach a highly developed bodhicitta, we may take the bodhisattva path and vow to assist all sentient beings to reach enlightenment. So when we do that, do we stay on the wheel of causality and suffering forever and keep having samsaric rebirths?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the bodhisattvas, even though their compassion is so strong for the other sentient beings, and out of that incredible strong compassion and bodhicitta mind, they have incredible inner strength, courage, confidence. Because of that kind of incredible inner strength, courage, confidence, you know, even they make such as vows to remain in samsara, until each and every sentient being is liberated, and until they are able to help each and every sentient beings to be liberated, to lead them to enlightenment. But because of their practice and such a bodhicitta mind and other practices, they will achieve enlightenment much more earlier, quickly, free from some. As we mentioned before, it's not about what you wish for, it's about creating cause and conditions. Even they wish to be in samsara, the last to be in samsara and not to, but because of, they create cause and conditions to achieve enlightenment because of those bodhicitta mind and all of that. And so they achieve enlightenment very fast, quickly. And so, definitely, and they, so therefore, you know, they are not afraid to be in samsara in order to help and benefit other sentient beings. Therefore, you know, they make all these prayers, vows, intentions to remain in samsara. But again, you know, because of such bodhicitta mind and the wisdom, you know, they get relief from the samsara. But even after they are free from samsara, you know, out of their compassion, they will come into this world where there's more pain and sufferings to relieve the pain and sufferings. So they don't have to go through the pain and sufferings, but they will come into the world where there's more pain and more sufferings to relieve the pain and suffering of sentient beings. Thank you, good night. Thank you.